Good morning. Welcome to our morning worship. And we've got a return visitor today, Andy Castle from Thrive, who's going to give us a lot of information to move us forward. Andy, welcome back. It's good to have you with us. For this week then, on Wednesday, we've got our prayer meeting on Zoom at 8 o'clock. And on Friday, our Bible study on Zoom at 8 o'clock as well. And of course, we invite you to join us next Sunday at 11 for our morning worship. I did mention last week the Good Friday Walk of Witness. We've got some more details now which seem to be in place. So just to stick it in your diary for Good Friday, we'll start at St. Lawrence's at 10 a.m. for a short service, and then the walk through the district with stopping places, and then we'll finish up at North Point Church where we will have some refreshments. And of course on Good Friday as well, we invite you to join us for our Good Friday service starting at 7 o'clock. David, it's all yours.
Thank you, Barry. I'm sorry, I've had a busy week, but isn't communion the fourth and the third Sunday every month? It is, isn't it? Because Andy, I told you it was communion, but someone forgot to lay it out. But I suppose we won't be having communion today, so okay. I just needed to make sure, because I was almost sure fourth and third Sunday was communion, but I thought I'd lost it there for a second. But there we go. This wasn't just a busy week. But as you've noticed, it is going to be slightly different this week. We won't have communion and we won't have me preaching this morning, Andy. Now, I do want to say we did send out an email to those on the list, because I had said at the meeting, Andy is going to come to speak to us and we will work out a time, because he had a busy schedule. I took the initiative when Andy emailed me to say, look, I'm actually free this Sunday, and I thought better early than later, because it would have been possibly end of April or June. So this is the reason why he's here. So I hope if anyone has questions, you can grill Andy. I'm sure he can take it. Just come and ask your honest questions. If you say, I have no clue what Thrive is, I didn't bother to read the leaflet, but can you just fill me in? I'm sure Andy won't mind, but he's taking his time out. So he is going to share a little bit. He is going to tell us more. He's going to bring a word, and then we're going to have questions and answers at the end. So please just bring whatever questions you feel are on your heart, and Andy will do his best to answer them as well as he can. Let's be kind as well. So, but no, thank you, Andy, for coming this morning. Just to also say, we are going to sing three songs rather than four, because I wanted to give more time for Andy to be able to share. So we're going to sing our first, and then we were going to have our communion song as the second one. Then I'll have a time of prayer, I'll ask Andy up, and then we're not going to sing the third song, gentlemen. We're just going to go straight to the last one. We'll stick to that format. Okay, let us pray. Father, as we come here this morning, we just thank you, the Lord, that we may forget to do things and lay out things. Lord, you don't forget. Lord, your word says in Timothy, even if we are faithless, he is faithful. Lord, even in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that you are unchanging. The Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we read in the Old Testament that it says that God is not a man that he should change his mind. You remain steadfast and sure. You're reliable. And we thank you that, Lord, we may not be reliable to one another. We may forget one another at times. We may not do some of the things that we find important. We thank you we can come and receive forgiveness, but we thank you that we can come to you who we can trust. And so, Lord, as we come this morning, I don't know where each person has come from. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what they've experienced through the week. I don't know what their struggles are, what their joys are. But I pray that, Jesus, you will meet with them and that you will grant them their heart's desire. Lord, give them a heart to dream. Grant them visions and bring your word to pass. Bring what is impossible for them to do, possible by you, and that, Lord, you may receive the glory. Lord, may people hear your voice, maybe even for the first time here this morning. May you bless Andy when he shares with us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let us sing our fourth song together. Now, just before we pray, I don't know of birthdays this week, but I'll just pray anyway generally, as we do come. These things were discussed in the meeting. We are returning back to normal with bringing the collection plate around, which will happen over the next while. And as you've noticed, hymn books are going back. Now, I want to mention something. Now, we do know that the numbers used to go up. You're happy to take a hymn book if you want, but I'll also just say that a lot of the songs we now sing don't always appear in the hymn book. So you've got that dilemma, and we won't necessarily be printing off the new songs on sheet unless entirely you really feel strongly, I can't see the screen. So if you do feel that you want to take a hymn book, sometimes you're going to find the hymns are not going to be there, and we don't have a person to put the hymn numbers up. So I'm saying that if you feel strongly you want to put the hymn numbers up, you can come and put the hymn numbers up. I'll pass you the numbers on, or Dave Lee will pass you the numbers on. But also just know that sometimes the songs are not going to be in the book, especially with a lot of the newer ones, especially over lockdown. We've used a lot of newer songs that have been introduced. So just putting that out there, you're welcome to use a hymn book if you want, but don't feel disgruntled when a newer song kind of comes on that's no longer in the older books. Thus, but if you need them, come and talk to me or come and talk to Dave Lee, and we'll try and make it easier if you still prefer a book. Just saying that there, rather than, you know, not just things are disappearing in the church, and if you didn't come to the meeting, you don't really know why, because no one said it to you. Let's pray. Father, as the Sunday worship warriors are here with us and the work that they've done, Lord, we want to just pray a blessing as they go into their work. Lord, the children are the future. In fact, this is the reason why Andy is here this morning. This is the reason why it's been on my heart and other people's heart in the church. Lord, I believe that this link is of you, but Lord, we just pray that, Lord, we will be able to invest in families. Lord, it's even been said, if you want to reach the children, Lord, you need to reach the parents and help us to be that link. Because, Lord, I believe, just like in the Old Testament in the desert, when the people came out into the desert, Lord, from slavery, you said, look, I want you to build a tabernacle. They didn't go back, Lord, to Egypt to buy things. They used what they had. And Lord, I believe you've given us your spirit. You're building a house. You're building a church. That, Lord, you will use us. And Lord, I just pray you will help us. You will guide us in this way. You will bless the children. Bless everyone that comes here, Lord. We are to be a house that's been built up in the Spirit. And Lord, we just pray for the children and for the workers. But Lord, we're all workers. Every single one of us has a role to play in raising our families up in the fear of God and in the joy and spirit of God. And Lord, we just pray that may that be present in this house where we worship your name, and in our own homes where we worship your name, in our bodies that are your temple that worship you. And Father, we just want to pray also for anyone celebrating, Lord, their birthdays at this time, that, Lord, you will bless them. We thank you for the years you've given each of us. Lord, we thank you that as today is the beginning of spring, we see new life in our part of the world come out, Lord. We see the flowers, we see the trees begin to bud. Lord, we see the farmers beginning to sow. We see the signs of life. And Lord, we pray that for not just for this church, but for your church throughout Great Britain, throughout the world, it will begin to bear fruit where barrenness has been. You'll begin to pour out your spirit upon us afresh. And Father, I really do want to just pray for those who are going through struggles at this time. Whatever it is, whether it's financial, whatever it is, that you will meet them. You will bless them. You will really come alongside them, Lord. You will cause them, Lord, like that widow's oil that, Lord, was filled up in the jars. You will cause what they have to multiply. Lord, you will cause them to meet whatever it is, whether it's a widow, Lord, whether it's someone who has gone through financial struggles, Lord, you will meet them where they are. May they, Lord, fix their eyes upon you and not upon the forthcoming troubles. And Lord, we want to continue to pray for Ukraine and for the ongoing war that is happening there with Russia. Lord, we pray that, Lord, we don't understand the things that go on. We don't understand why some of these things happen. Lord, we think that you're just going to stop it with the click of a finger. But Lord, we just ask for your intervention. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you will be with those, protect the vulnerable, and Lord, bring about an end that is peaceful and brings glory to your name. For Lord, these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, as the children go out to worship warriors, I've just been told Rafaela wants to come out. You can come with Daddy. So what do you want me to say? Okay. Rafaela wants to let you know she made this for Red Nose Day on Friday. I'm sure the other kids would want to bring their things, but they're too old and killed for that. All right. Wow. Lovely. There was two eyes on it, by the way, so it's now just a one-eye nose. So excellent. Thanks very much, Rafaela. Okay, now as the children go out to worship warriors, we are going to rise to sing our next song. turned on? Oh, hang on. All right. I'm going to use this microphone because I'm going to hand this over to Andy. But just to say before I pray for Andy when he comes, after the service, he preaches and shares with us, if you have a question, you want to speak into the microphone, I can bring it around to you. Just put your hand up. I'll sit somewhere near the front or off to the side. If you want to shout from where you are and Andy can hear you, we can also do that. But the microphone will be also an option. All right, let us pray for Andy just before he comes. Andy, do you want to come forward? Just don't worry, I'm gonna clear the pulpit for you. You won't have any clutter. Sure. I know what it's like to preach and have papers everywhere from the musician. Let's pray. Father, we just want to pray for our brother Andy. As he's come today, Lord, we just pray for the work that he does, the work of his team, the work that you have given to them. Lord, we know it's not possible without your spirit, without your power, without your provision, and without people to walk through. Lord, you call us to serve you together. And as he's come to serve us this morning and share your word, may you bless him. Anoint him afresh, Lord, and just speak to us and give us ears to hear and eyes to see. For this we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Good. Is this on? Do you put it on mute?
Is that on? Yes. Lovely. Well, it's lovely to be here with you again. Thank you for inviting me back. It's nice when it's a bit warmer. I was here in October, I think it was, last time. Isn't it glorious seeing the sun coming back and giving us that new sign of life? I've got a word that I'd like to share before I try and talk about how we might be able to partner together for the sake of God's kingdom. But I want to start with asking you a question. Who would you say is the most important person in your church? Who's the most important person, would you say? Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Yeah. Well, it's obviously David. He's the minister. He's in charge. Or maybe some of you would say, well, actually, it's our elders or our deacons. They're the most important people because they're who are in charge. Of course, the correct answer, which because we're in church and we always know the correct answer, is the most important person in our church is God. But apart from God, who would you say is the most important person in your church? One thing I can guarantee is that for every one of us, none of us is thinking the most important person in our church is me, is you. Because none of us think we're very important, or we always think others are more important than we are, don't we? And it's one of the real struggles that we have in our society at the moment, isn't it? Is about wanting to be significant, wanting to be noticed, wanting to be loved or liked, wanting to be influential to others, wanting to be admired by others. And of course, we know about social media and how amazing it is as a tool for communication, but also how difficult it is for actually building real relationships. And our society, our culture, is really struggling with actually how do we build relationships? How do we build connections with one another in the world that we live in, especially having gone through the last 2 years where we've been isolated and separated. And social media doesn't always help. Because I don't know if you realise, but if you want to put a picture up online, you can now put a filter on that makes you look better than you look in real life. It's amazing. You don't have to look like yourself anymore. You can click a button and it makes you look younger and it makes you look more lively. It makes you look that you're full of energy. If only we had that filter in real life, it would be quite useful, wouldn't it? But the thing is that therefore what it's creating is it's taking out our flaws on the filter, but it's not removing our flaws from who we really are. It means we can present a fake reality of who we are. And the reality is most of us, many of us, spend our lives with trying to find who we really are. Trying to find that moment where I make a difference, where I can have my flaws removed. I don't know if any of you have been watching the program on TV recently. On BBC, it's called Rock Till We Drop. Don't know if anyone's seen that, but I really would encourage you to watch it. It's a wonderful series. The premise of it is they're set a challenge to form two new rock and roll bands to play at the Isle of Wight Music Festival that took place last summer. And the only condition for membership for either of these two bands is you have to be over the age of 60. And so it's wonderful because there's a drummer who's 95 who gets the end of a day of rehearsal, goes, do you know what, I'm a bit tired. A bit tired. And it's just so wonderful seeing these people who've been playing music all their lives but never really, in their words, would say they've made it. And there's in the first episode, there's an interview with one person who I think's probably about 77 or so, if my memory serves me correctly. And she says this. She says, I spent my life waiting for my moment. And maybe this is my moment. And isn't that the way so many of us can spend our lives waiting rather than actually living? And of course, we have a message as the church that says, we know a God who wipes away your flaws. We know a God who actually is for living, who brings life in all his fullness, that you don't just wait for your moment. Because from the day you're born, you're significant. From the day you're born, your creator God delights in you. And we have this message to share. It's wonderful, isn't it? So who's the most important amongst us? Well, I want to turn to Matthew's gospel. Nathan, if you could put chapter 18 on the screen, that's wonderful. Because the disciples are really asking Jesus this very question about who's the most important. Let's read this together. It says this, starting at verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him, placed the child among them, and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung round their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. The disciples were asking, who then, Jesus, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Which is a funny question to ask, isn't it? Because you think of the kingdom of heaven, and you think, well, we know who the greatest in heaven is. It's God. It's our Father. Because that's not the question they're asking. Just as I'm asking, who's the most important person in our church? Of course it's our Father. But who amongst us? And you can imagine the disciples thinking, Jesus, so when it gets to the kingdom of heaven, who's important amongst us? Is it me? Jesus, say it's me. Because we want that sense of longing. We want that sense of being important to God. And so what does Jesus do? He gets the heart of the question. And he notices a child playing. And he just beckons to the child and says, just come over here a second. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus notices the child and places the child amongst them? Now picture the scene for a minute. Disciples and Jesus are chatting and there's a child playing. Jesus calls the child and the child comes straight over. That doesn't happen in our day. If I was in the park with a bunch of you after the service chatting and I noticed a child and I just said, hey, do you want to come over here a minute? What are they going to do? They're going to run a mile. They're not going to even stay where they are. Because that's the way our culture works now. But can you picture Jesus' face? What is it about Jesus' face that welcomes the child? I wonder if Jesus crouched down and went, hey kid, come over here a second. He gets down to their level. I can picture it, can you? I wonder if it's the kindness in his eyes. I wonder if it's the warmth of his smile. What leads that child to come to Jesus when he's called? And the child stands amongst them. And Jesus says, he says, we need to, unless you change and become like this child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying, this child's got more chance of getting into heaven than anyone else does. Because heaven belongs to such as this. So what's Jesus saying? Is he saying, well, if you're not a child, it's too late? Of course he's not saying that. But what he's saying is, as a child, just as that child has immediately come when I called him, we need to be the same. When God calls you, you come. When God asks you to do something, you respond. You don't overthink it. You don't think, is it safe? You don't think, is it going to do me any favours? Is it going to get me up the career ladder or any of that? I just obey. Because the child is open to doing what they're asked to do. The child is trusting of others. He trusts Jesus. He's lowly. He's humble. He's not arrogant. You don't often find arrogant little children. We kind of develop that as we get older. And the older we get, sometimes our pride gets worse. And I think Jesus is using this child to say, you need to remember to be humble. You need to remember to be playful. You need to remember to be present. Because if you know any children, they just live in the moment. They have no concept of the future. Even a day is too long in a child to wait. Even wait till this afternoon. It's like, oh, mum, oh, dad, I can't wait till this afternoon. And they don't think about what happened yesterday. How often do we hear about friends, children falling out on the playground, and by the next day, it's not only not talked about, it's completely forgotten that they fell out because they're just in the moment. Jesus is calling us to be like children. Of course, he's not saying be childish. He's not saying be children. He's saying be childlike, not childish. We don't get the excuse, therefore, to throw tantrums or to throw our books across the church at each other in a childish way. You say, no, don't be childish, be childlike. So how important it is for us as church to have children and young people amongst us. Because Jesus brought a child in to the group of disciples to say, here's your model for what you need to be like to be in the kingdom of heaven. So if we don't have children and young people in our churches, how do we remind ourselves of what Jesus wants us to be like? And yet the average number of young people under the age of 16 in our churches across Coventry and Warwickshire at the moment is about 6 per church. We're losing our model. We're losing the example to the rest of us. So often when we talk about youth and children's work, we think purely of them. They need to know God. They need to know Jesus, which of course is so true. But boy, we need them to help us to know Jesus, to help us to know what God calls us to be like. So having children and young people in our church brings 5 things to us. It brings life and energy, because if you've ever been around teenagers, you know they're full of energy. And so are children. You know that because if you're a grandparent and you've looked after your grandchildren, as soon as they go home, the first thing you do is go, whew, because it's full of energy. But that brings life to us as the people of God. Second thing young people and children bring is creativity. They're creative, aren't they? They're always doing things. They're always making things. They're always making new games up, having new experiences. And I've got 3 children, 13, 17 and 20. Unfortunately, 20 just makes me feel old rather than anything else. But it's been wonderful as they go through that age of sort of starting to grow out of being a child and becoming a teenager. So our youngest is just 13 a couple of months ago. And he's a real teenager, you know, and with all the attitude that comes with being a teenage boy. But there's moments when he's still a child. I love the fact that we were watching TV last night and he just put his head on his mum's lap. Now, as adults, we wouldn't do that. But as a child, you do. And he's still got that. He's still got that moment where he still wants to play with his toy cars. Now, if his friends found out, he would be, you know, so embarrassed. But isn't it wonderful that they still have those moments? And I'm intrigued by, well, when do we grow out of actually enjoying those things? That creativity. But of course, hopefully our creativity evolves into doing something more useful. Maybe it is creating glorious banners or pieces of music or art or whatever it may be. But how easy it is as adults, as we get older, to lose our creativity. And we go, oh yeah, I'm just not a creative person. We're made in the image of a creator God. It's impossible for us not to be creative people. We've just lost it. Think back to when you were a child. What did you do when you played? You played imaginary games, or you played games where you pretended to be characters. Because that's a reflection of our creator God. We need children and young people in our church to remind us to be creative. Because that's part of the image we're made in. Young people bring, the third thing that they bring to the church is a heart for social justice. They've got a real passion for justice amongst their community. To respect each other, to love each other, to care for our planet. They're setting the way ahead for us when it comes to climate change, aren't they? Imagine that in our churches, what it says about us when we're told to love our neighbour as ourselves. Fourth thing they give us is a spiritual desire. When a young person catches the reality of what Jesus has done for them on the cross, there is nothing like it. They don't see any barriers to telling people about Jesus. They don't see any barriers to doing great things. They take the scripture at its word. And so when it says you will do great things, they're like, right, great, let's do it. What are we doing? They don't go, well, actually, we've done that and it doesn't work. Or, yes. We had someone like that in our church 10 years ago and they've left. They don't have any of that barrier. They get on with it. If we have young people around us, what happens to us? We start to go, oh, yeah, it is that simple. We do. Trust God. Listen to God. Do what he says. And that's what young people bring to us as the church. They bring that spiritual desire, that hunger for God that sometimes as we get older, we can find we start to lose. How often I talk to Christians who've been Christians for some years and they go, the time I felt most alive was when I first came to faith. I wonder if that's for some of us. When you say, when did you feel most connected to God? Was it when you first came to faith? Or is it today? Because surely we grow in relationship. We should go deeper every day with our Father. That today should be our best day. But we get dry. And we need to be around people who are coming to faith to remind us how exciting it is. Someone said to me about a week ago, Andy, what was the most exciting thing about what you do? I said, it's when a teenager realizes what Jesus has done for them on the cross and that they can have eternal life with him. That when that penny drops, when that moment happens, when the Spirit sets them alive, it's so exciting because it makes me excited for what God's doing in me. Because it's contagious. When God is at work, it's contagious. And the fifth thing that young people can bring to our church is more people of all ages. It's not just going to bring children and teenagers. It brings more people of all ages. Because when someone in our community is thinking, well, I feel like I need to explore faith a bit. Maybe the Spirit's been working in them, but they don't know that. Maybe they're just, I just want to visit a church one Sunday. Maybe they're thinking, well, through all we've been through, we realize that the world doesn't have the answers. So maybe this God thing does work. And they go on the websites, and what are they looking for? I guarantee they're not looking for the church that does not have children and young people. They're not going, well, I don't want to go to a church with under 18, so that would be really awkward. They're looking for where there's life and energy, and where there's life and energy, there's children and young people. And so young people, we need young people in our churches for us. For the church's survival beyond us. Because they model kingdom behaviour to us. And yet we've got into this place where we think we have it all together. And we think we've got nothing to learn and we've just got to teach them. Of course we've got to share the gospel with them. We've got to pass on the baton of faith to them. But as they receive it, their response brings life into us. I love the fact, I've been a youth worker for nearly 30 years. I love when young people pray for me. And that beautiful moment when teenagers just go, Andy, we want to bless you. We want to pray God's blessing for you. And one story I think of was quite a while ago now. I was taking some young people to a summer camp. And I woke up not feeling great. But I knew I had to go because I had to drive them. I was the leader in charge. I was helping them set their tents up. All this kind of stuff. And we were driving a minibus. We had a stop at a service station. And I realized the way I felt wasn't just me sort of having pre-youth weekend away nerves. Yeah, actually, my body really wasn't good I won't go into it, but it was very apparent to me in the service station toilets that neither end was quite right. And I was going to have to keep going with this bunch of young people in a minibus and some adults. But what am I going to do? And fortunately, I managed to get some medication at the service station to kind of help. Got to where we were camping, got them to set their tents up, I said to the other leaders, I said, look, I'm really not well. I just need to sleep and then rush between the facilities. But keeping the information, you can imagine. I felt dreadful. And for 3 days, I didn't emerge from my tent except for making the dash to the facilities and back. For 3 days. And then I was thinking, oh, Andy, you're supposed to be in charge of these people and you can't even get up and sit with them. And I was feeling really low. But I was lying in this tent thinking, all I can do is just look after myself at the moment. And I heard a 16-year-old girl in our group say to the others, hey, guys, do you think we should be praying for Andy? I mean, it took them 3 days, but... But what they then did is they surrounded my tent and I could hear them praying for me. They didn't know if I was awake or asleep or even in the tent. But they prayed for me. And do you know, by the end of that day, I was up and out again. But even if I wasn't, the beauty of them surrounding my tent and praying for me is something that will always stay with me. Because young people bring life. They bring spiritual energy to us, spiritual desire. And of course, young people need to hear the good news of Jesus for themselves. They struggle with the same questions of significance. They need to know that they're loved by their Creator, that He delights in them, that life lived with God is better than life lived without. Jesus says in this passage, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for them to be drowned. It would be better for them not to exist." Because Jesus says, whoever welcomes one of these children welcomes me. Wow. I want to be welcoming Jesus every day. And Jesus says, well, the way to welcome me is to welcome the children. So what are you doing? What are we doing to welcome children? As church, somehow, over the last couple of decades, we've started to make our welcoming of children a specialist activity for only youth leaders or youth workers. The rest of us don't need to do it. But actually, if we read this scripture literally, Jesus is saying, well, you're only saying that the specialist youth workers are welcoming me. We're all, as the family of God, called to welcome children and young people. It's not the job of specialists. It's our job as the body of Christ, because we welcome Jesus. I want to be welcoming Jesus every day. How about you? So to go back to my original question, who's the most important person in your church? You know, I wonder if the most important person in your church is the child or young person who's yet to walk through your front door. Because as you welcome them, you welcome Jesus. And that's the challenge for us, isn't it? And that's why I'm here with you today, is because I want to encourage you to do all you can, not the least you can, but all you can, to be reaching out to the next generation and bringing them into a living relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus. And do you know what? It takes each one of us. There's no age limit to welcoming Jesus. It's just obedience, the childlike obedience. What is God asking you to do? Now do it. Now do it. The problem we have is all of us have a picture in our heads of what youth work looks like, and all of us goes, that's not me. And I've been doing youth work for 30 years, and I can tell you, the stereotype I have in my head, that's not me. I am not the all singing, all dancing, entertaining, you know, come and be around me, it's going to be so much fun. Because actually, that's not what God wants. God doesn't want people to be attracted to me. We want them to be attracted to Him. And so if I can be the usher taking children into Jesus' presence, that's what we're called to do. We're called to be the body of Christ with Jesus as our head. That's why we are. We're called to be, Jesus talks about us being the family of God, because we're His brothers and sisters. And our Father is in heaven. And we want to adopt more children and young people. And as we adopt them, it brings more life to us as well as to them. And it's just an amazing thing, isn't it? So what does it look like for us to do this? Well, I've been running Thrive Youth Ministries for 10 years now, trying to help churches across Coventry and Warwickshire to re-engage with children and young people, to think through, we've got to admit, the way we do youth work is not working. What does it look like to do youth work in a 21st century? I hate to remind us all, but there isn't a single child or young person alive today who was born in the last century. which is amazing, isn't it? But that's the reality. And yet we still have a 20th century mindset of what we should be doing. We need to draw into the 21st century and go, well, what connects with children and young people today? What is it that actually we can use as the hook to explain the gospel for them? And so we've created this process called our manifesto for 21st century youth work, which basically says it's not an off-the-shelf resource that you need. It's not that if you can do this in 10 steps, you'll have a church full of young people. Because we know that thing doesn't work. It'd be easy if it did, but that's not what God calls us to. Because God doesn't call us to programs, he calls us to relationships. We're the family of God, the body of Christ, building up relationships with one another under the name of Jesus. So I've got a very short video to show you that I did show you last time I came. So if it looks familiar, it's because you have perhaps seen it before. It's only 3 minutes long, but it explains in 3 minutes what I would take 10 minutes to explain. And as you watch this, I want you to be thinking about, well, how does this help our church? How can we, as the church here in Alderman's Green, reach children and young people? And what might it look like? So Nathan, if you wouldn't mind showing that would be wonderful.
Many churches are starting to reach that place where they understand there needs to be a significant shift in their approach with young people and are open to being led. Our vision is to enable churches to develop youth work that's fit for the 21st century. Youth work that works. This is not going to be a quick fix, but our approach will help churches to build on what they already do, encourage them to engage with children and young people in the wider community, as well as those in the church, and to develop youth work based on relationships over activity. Thrive won't do your youth work for you, but we will do anything with you. We want to build on any existing work and make this stronger, and then help the church seek out new opportunities. So how does it work? We'll start by taking churches through a review, recce, receive process. These are the core elements of this project. We will support what is already happening in the church, as well as what could start quickly. We will help the church understand their attitudes towards youth work and explore what might need to change. We'll help identify what makes the church unique and maintain that authenticity, as this is a vital component in how they reach out to children and young people. A key step of this process is to create meaningful relationships with local young people not in the church. So we'll help churches to conduct surveys to explore what are the needs of the local young people, to enable them to start connecting. We will walk with the churches throughout this process, but ultimately, we want churches to be looking to God for guidance and direction. We encourage churches to pray regularly and wait on God for His leading. We will assist each church to draw up a strategy, plan it, and bring it to life. In addition, we will help each church to create a coordinating group, which will oversee the whole project, be responsible for communicating the process to the wider church family and to learn the ethos of this new way of ministry. We will provide training for these coordinating groups in these new fundamentals, such as how we make youth outreach the priority in our church, how to communicate the gospel clearly to young people, especially those without church backgrounds, and how to create a warm, welcoming environment that teenagers will want to keep returning to enjoy. Thrive wants you to know that you are not alone, and we will walk with you and support you by offering guidance, expertise, and experience, and giving the churches the courage and confidence to try new approaches. If you want to find out more, visit our website www.thriveym.org.uk/manifesto.
So that gives you an overview of what we're trying to do. But you might go, well, how does it work? Well, really, we are trying to support you and go at whatever speed you want to go at. to do something new, to reach out to children and young people. And so it's very flexible. We've created a process that we will journey with you as people who've got experience of working with children and young people. I've got a team of youth workers and children's specialists who don't come with the answers, but they come with the experience. They come with the training and the understanding, but they also come to bring the confidence that actually when we try something and it goes wrong, we can review it and work through, well, what do we need to change? What do we need? That didn't work. That's fine. Let's try something else. Whereas the problem we have so often is we try one thing and it doesn't work and we go, well, that was it. We knew it wouldn't work. And we stop. But God's saying it might not be easy, but I need you to reach out. And I wonder, so often I talk to churches and they say, well, actually, it was great back in the day. We used to have lots of young people. And my challenge to us today, my challenge to you today is, wouldn't it be great if we could go, the best years for our church is coming, not what's behind us. You know, what are we setting this church up for in the future? That actually the legacy that we leave is a church that is serving the community, serving the children and young people in our area. You know, I took a day on Friday for a retreat with a friend of mine, and we went for a walk in some fields and stuff, and it was really beautiful, sunny day, and there was a stream. And over the stream were these trees, which were all stripped of any greenery because it's been winter. But as I looked at all these prickly branches and barren branches, I just felt the Lord say to me, that's like my church. It looks dead. It looks worn out. It looks like it's had life and it's gone. But of course, Andy, you know that tree, if you come back in a few months' time, will be full of life. If the nutrients are right, if that tree continues to get water from the stream, if that tree continue to get sunlight and all whatever else a tree needs, that tree will be full of life. And I felt God say, that's my church. It will be full of life if we get the nutrients right. Won't just happen, because for whatever reason, God chooses to work through his church. And that's us. But if we get the ingredients right, get the nutrients right, get the dependence on God, get the obedience to what he's asking us to do, and taking it all to him and moving out in the power of the Spirit, his church will come back to vibrancy. Maybe the days we look back on will be nothing compared to what's to come. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. Because we serve a great God. So what does it look like? Well, it can look like all sorts of things. We work with the church, not for the church. Because actually, you're the body of Christ in this area at this time. Not Thrive. So we come to serve you, not to do it for you. We'll do it with you. We'll help you to wrestle with whatever you think the Lord's asking you to do. And we've got some stepping stones to take us through that process. We'd encourage you to set up a coordinating group that needs to be about six, maybe five, six, seven people who take it as their responsibility to really wrestle with some, you know, what is God asking us to do? What are the opportunities we have? What are the things that we're good at? And what are the needs of young people in our community? And how can we join them up? And that coordinating group won't do the youth work for the church. It will make sure that those things happen. And so they stand between the responsibility of the young people who don't yet know Jesus, knowing him, and the responsibility of making sure that the whole church actually knows what we're going to do, and playing to the skills and the gifts that we've got, not pretending to be someone we're not. We need to be authentic as the church here. There's a reason why you worship in this church and not, I don't know where the next nearest church is, but you don't go there. There's a reason. And that's because you feel like this is where you're supposed to be. There'll be something about the heart of this church. John in the book of Revelation writes to the seven
angels of the churches. And he speaks to each of the angels, each of the spirits of the church. There's an angel for your church of what God's calling you to be to serve your community. We need to make sure that we are doing things in that authentic way. Not trying to pretend to be something that we're not. We don't need to be lively. We don't need to be sort of the entertainers. We don't need to be like that. We can't, if we think we're going to entertain young people, that's why we don't have many young people. Because what they have to entertain themselves online with Xboxes and PlayStations and social media and all that, we can't compete with that. But we're not called to compete. We're not called to entertain. We're called to introduce them to their Heavenly Father. And we can do that because we're his body. Now, David, I could talk forever, but I'm aware time's going on.
Am I turned on? No, I am now. I think Andy has shared a lot, and I think he's answered a lot of my questions. But then I've been talking to Andy for several months in this whole process that's been held back with COVID. And I think thank you very much again, Andy, for coming. We are going to drop the last song because we have slightly run over time. But I think it's important that we open up time for questions. Andy, you've shared a lot. Thank you very much for your fairly clear, concise and articulate responses that you've come with. Well, we want to get the ball rolling for questions, and I'm going to start to make it easier. Now, you put your hand up if you want the microphone. Otherwise, just ask Andy when I'm finished. But Andy, if you can answer me fairly quickly. So you said you don't do the work for us, you do the work with us. Does that mean that a youth worker will come, observe how we worship, and then meet with one or two people to say, look, I think maybe we need to think of doing something this way? Or how does that work, if you could tell us, please?
So one of my team will come and work with you. We're not here, we're not coming like an Ofsted or something, coming to assess the quality of your worship or the quality of how you do church. That's not our place at all. It would be rather meeting with different ones of you and to go, well, what's on your heart? What would you love to see? What is God saying to you? They might come and help say, well, maybe we need to spend some time praying together as a church for the next generation. What does he want us to do? And and it might not always be the same member of my team. It might be, depending on what you're trying to do, because different members have different skills. But what we will promise to do is, as much as possible, be with you as you explore these things. To be the critical friend who can ask awkward questions in a loving way, which is not meant in any kind of judgment, but actually if someone within the church asked, you might never speak to them again because it's like, how could they say that? Whereas we just want to bring it gently and say, well, have you thought about this? And then to help you seek God for, well, maybe that's what we've got to do. So how are we going to do it? And then we can bring the skills and experience to go, well, we've done something like this in another church. Let's see what this looks like. Does that?
Yes. Oh, thank you very much, Andy. That helps. Has anyone else got a question? Don't be shy.
Great.
So the first one was, in your experience, does regular active involvement of young people in services, for example, whether that's sharing favourite Bible verses or leading worship or even leading part of the service itself, do you think that helps to encourage families and young people into the church more?
Very good question. I think there's two parts to that, really. There's one, does it encourage the children to feel more part of the church? And then the second part is, does it encourage their family to come? I think you're asking. I think we have got to stop framing it purely around their age and go, if you were inviting people to join your church, do they want to do those things of sharing stories, to do readings straight away? Most of us would probably say, well, not from the start, but some of us would love to. Because there's a bit of our personality in it, isn't there? Some of us like to be doing something up front and saying things. Some of us, it's the worst possible place. And children are no different. And therefore, I think we can make the mistake by going, we need the children to be seen. We want them to be visible to us so we know we've got children. Rather than going to the children, you're totally up for doing something, but we don't want to force you, but we want you to be involved. And I think we've got to develop a place where we become family again, where actually if a family walks through the church doors, it's not down to the people who are unwelcome that week to make sure they welcome them. It's down to all of us to go, oh, I haven't seen you before. It's great to see you. My name's Andy, what's yours? To the parents, to the children, to the young people, whatever. All of us should be having that mentality as the family of God, that these might be people to join our family. And I think we've got to create that place of relationship. Because, yes, helping people, young people, to do stuff in our church is brilliant for getting more involved and engaged. But actually the danger is we say, well, we only want you when you can do something. Whereas actually we want you because we love you. And you're just like us. And actually we need you. And I think if our relationships are strengthened like that, then their families will want to go, because they'll be going, what is going on in that place? How come my child comes home feeling so loved? And that's what we want. We all want, don't we? What was the second question?
Sorry, just before we get the second... Sorry, Bianca, before we get the second question, there's something I think I need to add to that. I've had people, and this is not just in this church, get feedback that they come into the church or the minister doesn't get to talk to them or someone doesn't get to talk to them. And I think, Andy, you've touched upon something very important. Sometimes, even as me as a minister, I may not get a chance to come and see you, but because at the time I've come out of the vestry, you've either ran out the door or I haven't gone to coffee because I've gone home. But if you go to a church and you have four or five people that sit with you or around you, talk to you, then the person, you know, that makes the most important when you're investing in people. And I've noticed this at home with an observation of my children. Margaret's mother knows everything about my children, not from a nosy point of view. She rings them up once a month and has a conversation for 10, 15 minutes about them on their level. And I think if we begin to focus with that with families, it's exactly what you've just said. You're involving them for who they are, not for what they can do for you. And I think if kids know, kids know if you like them or you don't like them, or if they're just a nuisance. They will know if they make a noise in the church and they get stares, that they're thinking, man, I don't want to be there. I want to be, not that you want them to run around wrecking the place, but there has to be a level of they know when you're for them. And then when you have to correct them, that's when they will listen. So sorry, Andy.
No, great. But
please, Bianca, you go ahead.
The next one was just really, how can we get the church's presence more known within the wider community outside of the church?
So the simple answer is, well, tell them, you know. When was the last time you spoke to someone outside the church about the church? Because we're the people of God, we're to take the light of Christ wherever we go. The harder answer is, I don't know, without really talking with you and engaging with you. Because there isn't, what you've got to do is this step, this step, this step, and huzzah, you've got a thriving church. But we've fallen for that lie. And actually what we're trying to do is go, we don't want to pretend... That if you work with us, it's going to be easy, and this is all that's going to happen, and you're going to get a wonderful church. Because if it was that easy, you'd have done it already. And also, we don't want you putting your trust in me and Thrive. We want you to put your trust in God. And so we want to help you do that. Now, there's lots of things you can do, whether it is doing, outside services or doing something fun in a park or going to schools but actually that might all seem a bit too much. It can be. One of the things we could do is we could go, well, actually, let's just map out how many children and young people we as the church know at the moment. And, and, And there's a weird thing, because when I talk to churches, they think of us as the church, as an entity in itself. But we often forget that I am part of us as a church. So us as a church might, you know, let our hall out to a scouts group or a brownie group or whatever. But actually most of us would go, well, but I have no connection with that. But that's what the church does. But we think, well, we've got to remember the church is us. But me as a member of the church, well, I'm a granddad and I've got some children, some grandchildren who live in the village or the local area. And we could map those things out. Or maybe we've got someone who's a teacher in our church. And it's like, well, actually, they work with loads of primary school age children. And we suddenly go, oh, wow, there's lots of places where we are taking the light of Christ to children and young people. We just never thought about it being the church. Because we think that's just what I do. You know, that's just, I've got neighbours with a family. You know, and of course I'm smiling to them and I'm friendly when I see them when they leave in the morning. But actually, we could be going, well, what's God asking me to do for that family at the moment? Maybe we all know that before school is a very stressful time for most parents of particularly young children. So maybe what could we do just to send them an encouragement? Or to bring them a smile, or to give them a blessing, or what is it that they need? And so we need to be creatively thinking, not just what can we as a church do, but what can I as part of the church do? And so I'd love to explore that, because I think when Jesus says, whoever welcomes a child welcomes me, he's not saying, so disciples, do it all together. He's saying, I want each one of you to be involved in this. And so what do we as the church do? But also, what do we as individual members of the church need to do? Or as couples, or as families, that we can actually be living out our faith Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then regrouping on a Sunday. So it doesn't really answer in the way you want, but I'd love to engage with that more with the people who asked the question.
Thank you for that, Andy. I am conscious we are gone 10 minutes over time.
Sorry.
If people are happy to stay to ask a question, but I'm just letting people know, because I am conscious we had lots of time and we've gone over time. He's covered a lot. If you're happy to stay, we can continue and ask. But I wanted to add something on as well as you were sharing. Do you realise in the church at this moment, Margaret and I have 4 children. When Natalie comes, she's got 5 children. Bafford is sitting there with his son. Okay, he's a grown man now, so we'll call him a man. So let's leave Richmond. But do you realise we have also Nathan that is sitting there? That's one other child. I've counted out 10 children already. And I know Barry and Audrey's grandchildren don't come. That was 2 girls that were coming here. If you realise that if everyone turned up, and if the gentleman, I'm sorry I forgot his name, came with his 2 children last week, we had Carl come with his 2 children who wasn't sadly able to make it back. That's a lot of children already there without you realising, how do I reach more? Maybe we need to ask our question, how can we invest in the families we have that they feel supported as well? Because that's the one thing that has really come through and I've shared with Andy. We've already got a good starting block. And those parents, they reach other parents. So if we focus on what we have, those other parents reach other parents. We don't all have to be there 70 years of age standing at the school gate trying to rope people in. But talk to your neighbours. It's just about conversation. And people will come in. And some of you have brought people here simply by just talking to people and sharing people. So it's not as daunting as it may look. And we've already got a basis here if we're willing to look and see what we already have. Now, I'm conscious we'll only have a few more questions, but is there anyone else that wants to ask a question? Yes, Danai.
So I think the question for me is, sort of cemented us now, and I'm just sitting around the church, you can see the needs for families, and you can see how much we need. I think the question really that I don't know this for the church is it in the middle of, we are waiting to make a decision, or whether this goes ahead, or if it's about, I'm just trying to figure out, so we've met all these, and
traveling one time, and we realized we needed. So is it about us then, the church making the decision? Could it go ahead or not? Or how was it going?
Yeah, that's not a question for Andy. That's a question we need to decide as a church. That's something we need to decide with our involvement with Thrive. There is a financial side to it, but it's not about you pay us X amount of money. It's a decision. You decide how little or how much you give, because they don't serve God for air. They need wages like we do. They run. It's not about you need to give us X amount of money or we won't do anything with you, but we do need to make a decision. And it's not just about asking questions here. Anyone can contact Andy that they want in the church. It's not just about me. Him coming is to make contact with you, and anyone can email him. I'm not sure he wants phone calls every day of the week.
Fine.
But any questions that are there, the whole point of this meeting is, where do we go from here? Do we want to be involved with Thrive, or do we not feel that that's the way? That's a decision that we make as a church, and where we go from here. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, we can talk more about it, but yeah, that's it in a nutshell. Okay.
Is this the priority that God's calling you to do at the moment? And, you know, I would love to work with you at whatever pace or whatever, you know, speed that you want to go. But equally, you know, we've got a limited amount of time, so we can only work with churches that really want to do it, rather than feel like it's, well, we can't say no. So there has to be an honest conversation as a church of, actually, yes, we do need to take seriously reaching the next generation. Or what's going to happen to us as a church.
Okay, thank you. Andy, I've got one question more, and I think if there's any more questions, you can write them down, give them to me, or I can give you Andy's contact details.
I'm not rushing off, so...
No, and I'm just conscious we have gone way over, and it wouldn't be right to take more time. Yeah. But there is a question that was sent to me. I'm going to ask one of them. Are you able to give an answer about how you've helped a church during lockdown reaching out to young families?
Reaching out to young families. So with a couple of churches, and it is only a couple of churches, I don't know if you've heard of Messy Church, but it's quite a common thing, isn't it? And we helped two churches take their Messy Church online create these like activity bags that the church members took round to the people who were signing up for their Messy Church, and they would sit on Zoom with their bags. They'd unpack them, and we'd do craft together, and we'd have a Bible story, and we'd have do a kind of Messy Church service, but actually together in our front rooms. So one of my team did that. Another thing we did with, not with young families, but with young people, was we worked with churches to think through, again, using the bag idea of actually what does a care package look like for a young person? And to put things in that aren't promoting us, aren't promoting you ought to, but is actually saying we love you and we haven't forgotten you. And to take those round. But the reality is, you know, I talk about the fact that there's only 6 young people in our churches on average. That figure is actually pre the pandemic. And they're currently in 2022 updating the data on that. My fear is it's going to be much lower than 6 because of the pandemic. So I think the pandemic has not done us any favours in terms of reaching out and discipling the next generations. Churches have done well at discipling those young people who were already committed, but those who were not, it's been very difficult. But also it's highlighted how much of what we've done for youth and children has actually been more activity based and kind of let's just have a good time rather than point you to Jesus. And actually they don't need us to have a good time, but they need us to point them to Jesus. And I think the thing is trying to work out what is our end goal in doing what we're doing. Because I don't think the end goal is having the church on a Sunday full of children and young people. We'd love that to be a part of it. But again, that's actually not the most important part. The most important part is children and young people coming into a living relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus by His Spirit. And through that relationship grows with Him and with us, that as a byproduct, they'll want to meet with us and worship together. But the goal is not to fill the pews. The goal is to build relationships and usher them into the presence of God, because life is lived better with Him than without. And the majority, over 95% of children and young people, are living life without. And for me, that is just not acceptable. It's catastrophic, isn't it? How hard it is for a young person at the moment, because they're not hearing about the good news of Jesus. And that's down to you and me. Not through creative, clever activity, but about our obedience, our listening to God. What are you asking me to do? What are you asking us to do together? Come on then, let's give it a go. And what Thrive will do is go, come on, we're going to hold you to it and we're going to help you. It's going to be fun. It's going to be an adventure. And we've got a Father in heaven who promises the victory is His. So we're on the winning side.
Amen. Thank you very much, Andy, for taking the time. He's not rushing off. We are going to have a delayed tea and coffee, but thank you for your patience for coming. If any questions, you can give them to me and I can pass them on, or you can contact Andy yourself. That will also help you to kind of see where we think. But let us be praying. Andy's come to take his time. We need to be praying as a church. If we don't feel this is the way forward, why don't we feel the way forward? If we think this is the way forward, why do we think it's the way forward? It's not just because I brought him here to speak. But we really need to take a look at ourselves and ask God, where are you guiding us? And where are you leading us? So let me just pray as we close. Father, we thank you for Andy coming this morning. And Lord, we thank you for him taking the time out. Lord, we thank you that as he has shared, you have been here. You are present with us. Thank you, Lord. Even as we have gathered, we ask that may our ears be open to what you are saying. Bless Andy in his work, and bless us as a church as we seek to go forward in your will, that we may have expectancy to bear fruit and to see you move, not relying on ourselves, but as a child relies on their parents, that we be relying upon you. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.